Buzz.com.
This is the morning brief from the Economic Times, produced in collaboration with Awaaz.com. Reliance Retail wants to take a shot at it. So do the Tatas. Then why should Amazon be left behind? Or private equity money bags for that matter? After e-commerce, groceries, it's the turn of pharmacy retail, both online and offline, to be at the center stage. Consolidation, fundraising, COVID has further brought the focus on the importance of convenience and costs. But regulatory gray zones remain. Merry Christmas, everyone. This is Arijit Burman from The Economic Times, and you're listening to The Morning Brief. To understand this evolving landscape, for this podcast, I've invited Navroz Mahudawala, founder and managing director, Candle Partners, an investment bank, and my colleague from Bangalore, Alnoor Peer Mohammed. Guys, thank you very much for joining us. Alnoor, let me come to you first. A lot of news flows in the recent weeks, and I would say months rather. Both online and offline space is buzzing. Before we get into the nitty-gritties, tell us a bit more on how, you know, the deals in this space are shaping up.
Hey, Rajit. Thanks for having me. It's been an extremely eventful last few months in the e-pharmacy sector. We've seen some deals which have already been done. A few more are in the pipeline. Hopefully, will be done soon. So we had Reliance Retail buying 60% stake in the parent company of NetMed for 620 crores. This happened in August. And in quick succession, we saw a bunch of other things starting to happen. Amazon launched or started piloting its e-pharmacy business with Cloudtail, its biggest partner. We also recently sort of heard, and you'll see this on ET, that Amazon has been in talks with Apollo Pharmacy. It's the largest retail chain of pharmacies in the country, and there could be a partnership there. Tata is also in talks with one of the bigger players in this space, which is 1MG. And then the third and the fourth big players in this space, PharmEasy and MedLife, they've actually entered into an agreement to merge the company. This could potentially make them the largest player in this segment right now in terms of the GMV they will be driving.
Also, Warburg, we reported, is all set to become a very large shareholder in MedPlus, which competes with Apollo. So indeed, things are buzzing in this space. Navroz, I guess COVID has changed all of us. It's the new normal, so to speak. But in this particular segment, how has the Indian neighborhood chemist fared during COVID? Did e-pharmacies actually gain traction during pandemic, just like the grocery segment, or did the chemists gain? What did the chemists also do in terms of retaining their own share?
Yeah, so I have a slight different take as far as COVID is concerned. And actually, we've been following it quite closely with some of the data which is emanating from the Indian pharma industry. Contrary to grocery, actually, we believe that the Indian chemist fared extremely well during COVID. So, you know, they managed to get their act going. They were doing home deliveries. And the data that we, at least seems to be coming to us, suggests that actually the physical retail side here has done better than most other formats. And there's a very strong probability that actually e-pharmacy's market share may have just been flat or maybe marginally increased in COVID times. It's a lot got to do with the fact that, you know, at the end of the day, you within pharma, you have, you know, acute therapies and chronic therapies, right? Chronic is something where a lot of people have been buying from e-pharmacies. Acute is still, which dominates the Indian market. And that is not, it's not something which is very easy for the e-pharmacies to tackle because of the fact that just that, you know, these are drugs which you generally want the same day. And thanks to that, you know, I think the logistics as far as most of the e-pharmacies is concerned, I think a lot of them didn't get their act right compared to the grocery guys. I would think like a Big Basket came out really smiling at the end of the day. I'm not sure about some of the e-pharmacies.
Even though the government, both at the center and the states, made medicine delivery a part of the essential services list during lockdown. So I thought, you know, logistics and all that would improve in, you know, may not be in the first few weeks or months, but then thereafter, they would get their act together.
You're right. I think what has clearly happened is that more people have used e-pharmacies, though there have been several bottlenecks, no question about it. Even today, if one tries to kind of order on some of these e-pharmacies, you'll actually find that out of the 7 drugs that you are seeking, typically you will not get 3 or 4 of them, right? And you don't want to replace a brand, so you kind of drop that order. So there's a huge opportunity cost which these guys are playing on, which actually, honestly, the neighborhood chemist is not suffering from because, you know, today, at least in a city like Bombay, you will typically, anybody will be able to walk 5 to 7 minutes and, you know, go and get whatever you want, right? And generally, they are extremely, they have got their act going and, you know, they're saying that, you know, if you just, we will note it down and, you know, within 2 hours or within 5 hours, we'll again supply it to your home. So those guys have become extremely smart. So I would think as far as this sector is concerned, it's still a open field in terms of physical retail.
Okay, that's interesting. But so far, the e-pharmacies, no doubt that they are growing. Yes, they're growing. They're from a small base. But they are definitely a force to reckon with, no doubt about that. But is it the discounts that's driving volumes? Or its actual convenience?
Well, I would think there's a claim there of convenience, right? At the end of the day, it's clearly discounts driving it because, I mean, whoever one ends up speaking with, I guess the main element is that the chronic guy who ends up typically buying 4,000, 5,000 worth of goods, and if he is getting a 12, 15% discount, right? For him, it's a big deal. I would think, you know, it's not a big deal for a guy who's trying to, you know, buy something worth 800 or 1,000 rupees. And for him, the ability to execute the order by walking across to a chemist is actually far easier than, you know, kind of trying to order it online. Which in many cases actually is not the case in a lot of other formats of e-reader, right? I mean, today, I guess a big basket, you can easily trade on another grocery. You know, a Brinjal can be substituted with something else. You can't substitute medicines that way. It's becoming trickier and trickier. And I think somewhere the logistics of e-pharmacies potentially have not delivered to the level at which people were expecting them to deliver.
Allur, if discounts is what's driving the segment so far, and I see advertisements also harping on this particular point, we've seen in other segments of online retail, that is electronics, grocery, discounting leads to massive cash burn. And the party is good if you're riding on or if you're spending somebody else's money. But then when the tap stops, suddenly you are in the middle of a crisis.
Certainly, Arijit. There definitely is cash being burnt in this segment. The investors are sort of looking at it. The investors and the companies are looking at it as they need to sort of grow right now rather than worry about, you know, the ideal economics. And we've seen this play out in multiple sectors now. This is kind of the template that, you know, new age businesses are taking to sort of grow. They grow first and worry about economics second. But there are a few things which help these companies, especially in this sector. If you look at the pharma, the margins on pharmacy products, right? They're quite a bit higher than something like FMCG, which the grocery delivery players have really struggled with, right? You need to build a quite a sizable basket in order to be able to subsidize the delivery cost for giving them free delivery and express delivery and stuff like that. The same stands true for pharmacy when you look at, you know, over-the-counter drugs, which are quite cheap, where the margins are not very high. So that doesn't make sense. And that ties into what Navroz is sort of saying on, you know, an acute scenario doesn't really work for the pharmacy players yet, because you might just have a small order of 200 or 300 rupees, and that might not make sense for these players to fulfill them. Yes, there is significant cash burn. Right now, most of that would be with customer acquisition, you know, trying to build out their logistics, because they're still struggling with the express delivery. That's a really expensive proposition, right? Doing a next day or 5 day later delivery is fine. It's far cheaper. but doing an express delivery is quite expensive. Not to mention there definitely is discounting in this space. So that is also contributing to cash burn. But yeah, the economics and owing to the margins that you can earn in pharma is a little better, but still none of them are making profits as such.
Just to give you some statistics, in a traditional chemist, margin profile, you typically have a pharmacy in India enjoying anywhere from 16 to 22% as margin. So there is another back-end margin of around 8 to 12%, which lies with the distributor. Typically, if you manage to get into the shoes of the distributor and the chemist, there is anywhere from 24 to 35% margin profile, which is available. And that's the key attraction for everybody. It's far fatter than most other retailers. And this margin profile in the longer run will come down. However, for you to control that supply chain correctly, most players will need to have a back-end distribution set up. And that's actually the beauty of a pharmacy model, right? I mean, they also have an Ascent along with them, essentially a distributor. Right. So you, for all practical purpose, are controlling a fairly sizable margin in the trade. And that gives you the flexibility to go ahead and offer a large part of your discounts. Now, if you don't have a backend, right, if you're not straddling the distributor shoes, then your margin profile is relatively lower. So the reality today is that even the chemist has kind of smartened up, and he's aware that his margin is under threat. And he's also passing on quite a bit of these margins to the Indian consumer.
Because unlike FMCG, the pharma distribution still, I guess, has a lot of inefficiencies built in. I guess it's also got to do with the unorganized nature of the retail trade in this segment.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I think that segment is also consolidating. So, I mean, just to give you, again, some numbers, India today has somewhere closer to 80,000 distributors.
Wow.
Yeah. And now that figure is like you will typically find even in a city like Bombay, maybe there may be 5,000 or 8,000 distributors. So thanks to that, this trade is so fragmented that this itself will go through its share of consolidation, and you will have larger distributors coming up. We have a case here where the leader in India will be having a 2 or a 3% market share. Globally, this trade is consolidated. So USA has three distributors, which are 90% plus market share. China has three distributors, which are 45-50% plus market share. India has maybe top three will be 4 or 5% market share.
But Navroz, why then is this frenzy? I mean, are VCs or investors getting excited a little too early? Also because, just like gaming, I mean, I noticed, and we did an episode some weeks back, in e-pharmacies also, there are several gray areas, litigation. The very fact whether e-pharmacies can sell all medicines itself has been challenged. And I think there is no clear policy yet. It's still in the works. So isn't it a very, very risky and delicate area to tread?
Yes, but let me again, I tell you where most financial investors are coming from. And it's they are actually willing to play a much longer term player. And thankfully, the end user sector here is very safe. So if you see the track record of the domestic Indian pharma industry, right? I mean, even in the worst of years, it has done an 8% growth. So there's huge scope in terms of price increases. There's huge scope in terms of ability of the market to grow. And I think it's thanks to that factor that because the larger market will continue to grow, even if finally the e-pharmacies are at, say, 10% of the overall market, it's still a large pie.
AIOCD is a very strong industry body, and they are fighting tooth and nail. And if suddenly a judge somewhere says, e-pharmacies can't sell ABCD, I mean, we've seen telecom licenses also getting scrapped. And then we saw what happened. So then there's so much of money which can potentially go down the tube.
I guess the regulatory risk here, Rajit, is part of the risk that any investor will end up taking, right? I mean, even when you are investing in a sector like this, you take I'm assuming you're doing an end user sector of manufacturing, you take the regulatory risk of an FDA there, right? So it is an endemic part of your overall investment thesis. You'll have to live with it.
Alnur, you talked about the entry of Amazon, their pilot, and now, you know, the discussions with Apollo. Tata's, as you said, are also you know, keen to enter. Reliance already have acquired NetMed. So do you expect the arrival of these big boys with deep pockets to actually change the dynamics of, you know, in the online pharmacy space significantly, both online and offline? And perhaps that in turn could trigger more consolidation and some kind of a shakeout as well?
Arijit, you know, whichever sector we look at, it's always Amazon is the one coming in and everyone else sort of pulls up their boats, right? This time I'd argue it was Reliance which really pushed a bunch of the consolidation.
Yeah.
While a lot of things were happening in parallel, I think Reliance made the first move here. And, you know, I was talking to someone and it's quite interesting to understand why someone like Reliance and Tata might be entering this space, right? And why now? If you look at most of the valuations of the companies, they're not that bizarre, right? It's not like a Flipkart or a Snapdeal right now, or Snapdeal back in its heyday. The valuations are quite normal.
Navroz, you know, the last question to you. We talked about distributors, the front end, but with the entry of these bigger boys in this retail space, do you expect the manufacturing profits or the pharma profits and margins to come under pressure or be squeezed?
Arijit, actually, my view there would be that, you know, we are still far away from that happening. And let me explain why. The Indian pharma is a very diversified business model. I mean, they will do domestic pharma. They will also do international business. They will also do the active ingredients, right? It's a mix of 5 to 6 business models into one, right? If you look at on a standalone basis, of course, the most profitable business for them many a times tends to be domestic formulations, typically generating 20 to 25% EBITDA margin. Yes, they may come marginally under pressure, but you know there are still several levers for them to kind of maintain it. Also, the fact is that I think there is increasingly a lot of focus again on going more branding, you know, and you know, incentivizing the supply chain, etc. So, honestly, don't think it's going to come under dramatic pressure. It may be a couple of percentages here and there, but that also, I would think it's still far away. We will continue to see a lot of consumer benefits, so a lot of front-end discounting happening. But it's a far out to, I think, currently assume that any of these guys will have the muscle power to come up to a Sun Pharma and say, give us something cheaper.
So to sum up the situation, COVID-19 pandemic has clearly shown the importance of technology and digital infrastructure for providing access to affordable and quality medicines and healthcare services to the consumers across the country. The parallel between online grocery and medicines is striking. 70 million households are expected to rely on e-pharmacies by 2025, from 3.5 million pre-COVID. Organized pharmacy retail, though small currently of the overall pie, will also only grow as distribution is also poised for disruption. But the businesses need to stand up on their own feet. Scale will certainly help reduce cash burn, but discounting cannot sustain in the long term. Neither can the regulatory uncertainty. Thank you, Navroz and Alnur, for taking time out. I'm Arijit Barman, and you've been listening to The Morning Brief. This episode was edited by Devina Sengupta and coordinated by Shashwat Mohanty. I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. We look forward to your feedback. Write to us at themorningbrief@timesgroup.com. And if you like this episode, please share on your social media handles. We'll really appreciate it. The Morning Brief drops every Tuesday, Thursdays, and Friday. Thank you for listening in and have a nice day. Goodbye and good luck.
Avaaz.com